Hey everybody, and welcome to the show. Today's show is going to be awesome, absolutely just fantastic. I have a special guest, and I'm actually honored and humbled to have her on my show because I, as you know how I am, I love music, but I really like genuine artists, and people who put in a lot of work. And just it just shows in their music. It shows in everything that they do. Well, the guest I have on today is one of those people, and I want to introduce you to Miss Chrissy Cochran, and she is fabulous. Just wanted to say that, guys. I had to say that. So welcome to the show, Chrissy.
Thank you so much for having me.
And it's, like I said, it's an honor to have you, and it's a pleasure. And let me just give you guys a little background on Chrissy. So she is actually a singer-songwriter based out of Windsor, Ontario, Canada. So she is our northern neighbor, which is awesome. I love Canada, so I'll just say that straight up. it's cool because she's had such an awesome career in a short amount of time, it seems. Mm-hmm. And is that safe to say?
Yeah, I think so. At least the most eventful stuff has been more recent for sure.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. But you know, the thing is one of your biggest accomplishment, which is awesome, your first album, Little Sway, that has up until now, it went viral on Spotify with over 13 million listens, correct? Yeah. So, I think, and it also, you had a song placement on ABC television, the show Nashville.
That's right.
Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah. I was mind blown when that happened. I was like, really? Wow.
Your jaw hit the floor, right?
Yeah.
that's absolutely, and again, many artists strive for something like that. And, congrats to you and your entire support system. I understand your husband. I think I know his name is Mike.
Yeah. He goes by Soul Brother Mike.
That's right. Soul Brother Mike.
Yeah.
Correct. So congrats to you guys for these achievements and that support that you have. And also one thing that's cool, everybody, that's really neat is she plays a Fender Jaguar. Mm-hmm. And that is rare.
Yeah.
that is rare. A couple of things. So your first album, Little Sway, that was successful and it still is. Also, now your new album, Heirloom. So mm-hmm. Heirloom. So before we get into all of those things, let's go ahead. I want to ask you, for our listeners, and I've been doing a lot of the freaking talking here. So for our listeners, tell us just a little bit about yourself. As you know, who is Chrissy?
Yeah. Well, I grew up in a small town on the east coast of Canada, so I still very much feel like a small town girl at heart. I started making music when I was just a teenager, really, and it was kind of my way to escape my small little world and try and make myself different from other people. And I think music was just my escape for many years growing up. And when I had to kind of pick a career path when I was 18, I just decided that music was the thing that called to me the most, even though, my parents would have preferred if I had have gone into post-secondary, but I felt that I had to kind of suss this out first and see where it would take me. And so I spent a couple years living in Halifax, Nova Scotia. That's a Wow. great hub for music on the East Coast. Eventually I was drawn to Windsor, Ontario by a musician, by my husband now, Mike Hargraves, because he was in a touring band and they would come and play in Halifax all the time. And I just got to know him and his friends. And so I wanted to see what their city was all about. And I didn't even know that it bordered Detroit until I got off the bus and was like, what is going on? Because the two skylines they meet right along the Detroit River. And yep. I immediately fell in love with the city and fell in love with him. And then I went back to Halifax just to work really hard and make enough money to afford to move to Windsor. And then I came here and I felt like my career really took off after that. I was a folk pop singer-songwriter when I lived out east. So a very different style of music. And then I discovered Motown and jazz and soul and blues and realized that that's kind of the music that called to my heart and started to make that kind of music. So while Little Sway is the first album that I have that's like publicly available, I did put out an album when I was 21 that I recorded in Chicago, but it's like a totally different sound. It sounds like a completely different artist. So it's kind of, it still exists online, but it's definitely buried. Like you have to really hunt to find it, but yeah.
Everybody's going to hunt.
Go look for it. It's on Bandcamp.
Awesome. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's all good. Slowly my music started to change. When I put out Little Sway, I feel like I was pretty far into my transition into like a more jazzy and soulful style of music. There's still a couple of songs late on that album that have kind of a folkier vibe, including Pretty Words, the song that went viral on Spotify. And, I wanted to follow up with another album right away, but it just took so long to get all the pieces together. And then I got pregnant and that definitely slowed things down. I was like super optimistic, you know, I'll get this album done before the baby comes. And that just did not happen. And then once you have a baby, like nothing is happening for a while. So it didn't happen until pretty much last summer when we moved into our first home and actually had the space to record live instruments, because we thought my album was going to be all digital, all in the box stuff. And then, you know, we have so many great players locally who are in jazz bands and so many different projects. They're great live musicians. So we were like, let's just do this with actual people and make it a real organic living thing. And so I think, you know, it took 6 years to make my latest album, but I feel like it was really worth the wait and that it brought us into the right space at the right time to really do it.
Right. And I've listened to some of those tracks, and we're going to play a little bit in a few clips in a little bit, but I wanted to ask you a question. You know, it's funny, you got exposed to that soul and Motown, and you know, that's, and from what you've seen of me, that's huge with me. So I grew up on some of that stuff. And at what point did you wake up one day and say, you know, I want to pursue music professionally, this is it, this is what I want to do? At what point in that journey did you realize that?
Oh, I knew that, you know, growing up. Like my journals from when I was like 10 years old are all filled with how I wanted to be a famous musician. But I think the point when I decided, like, you know, I'm actually going to try and do this was when I was 18 and my parents were moving to New Brunswick. So that, you know, is the next province over. It was about a 6 or 7 hour drive away. And I didn't want to follow them. I had an option. I had a scholarship to go to university and take a journalism degree in New Brunswick. But I knew that that wasn't my plan A. That was my plan B. So I decided to move out to Halifax and just try and make it work. But, you know, I was 18. So I was as serious as I could be while not really knowing a whole lot about how to get my feet wet in the industry and, you know, just being kind of youthful and having fun and kind of being carefree and not really thinking too far ahead into the future. But once I was making Little Sway when I was 24, 25 years old, I was like, I want this to be my ticket out of working a full-time day job. I want to be able to just make music full-time. And I think that actually worked. You know, it took about 8 or 9 months before the effects of releasing Little Sway really caught up with me and I was able to make more money performing than working all week at a day job. But that was what I wanted to achieve and it finally happened. It took a long time, but it happened.
No, and that's awesome, because the one thing too is that people have that goal, and it's funny, and I want to point out, so you said something, I had my plan B. You know, a lot of people have a plan B either, but the one thing is you never strayed away from plan A, which is awesome. I mean, it just sounds like you just took off with it, and that's just phenomenal. What I want to do for everybody is I want to go ahead and play a few clips, and then we're gonna, so you can hear what Chrissy's music sounds like, because for me it was awesome. So give me let me cue it up, and then we'll get going here in 1 second.
Think it through. When I was a kid, I never did give a damn about a thing if it wasn't a man. But hungry love didn't lie. but your paycheck. I've been holding out for you, baby, but you're making me feel like a fool. You've been living it up in the city. Yeah, you left me here working the grind.
Okay. All right. And so I hope everybody enjoyed those as much as I did. And I do have a disclaimer to make. We do have some technical difficulties. So that's why I took a little bit of time between, because I had to come up with some creative way in order to play those, because we are on a different platform tonight. So with that, and I know you recognize those tracks, of course, because you made them.
Mm-hmm. So, spent a lot of time on those.
Oh my goodness. And it shows. I do, before I ask you more questions, I have to say again, I'm not an expert in music, and I don't claim to be. I love music. It's a part of you and your soul, you know, so that's what you know, what you know. Mm-hmm. But listening to that, and that's why I played the second clip a little longer, because I wanted people to hear, one, you have this soulful voice. You know, I understand that some of your influences were like Billie Holiday. Mm-hmm. And you probably saw I put on social media, is it, you know, you have a soulful voice and a soulful just tone about you. The other thing that complemented that in that last song, in Like a Lady, you had such a phenomenal backup band. That was just like, mm-hmm. wow. That mm-hmm. blew me away, because you both, you know, were just feeding off that energy off of each other. It was phenomenal. So that's why I played that a little bit longer, so people can get what, you know, hopefully hear and see what I was hearing, you know. So mm-hmm. What did you feel about when you were making Heirloom? I mean, what were your thoughts?
Well, the songs on the album were written over such a long period of time. So I feel like I was going through a lot of changes in my life. And I think the big change for me was I was struggling a lot with anxiety and depression when I was writing my last album. And I was really drawing on those negative spaces to make music, because so many of the artists that I idolized did that type of thing. And I felt a great connection to those songs and to those artists, but it was a really dangerous line for me to walk, because I was so used to humoring all of my negative moods that I kind of didn't have any healthy coping mechanisms anymore. And I would kind of just spiral when something was wrong with me. And it took me a long time actually to even just feel comfortable on stage. I had been playing shows for 10 years when all of a sudden I couldn't play a show without feeling sick all day, so nervous, and just I felt so out of my element. And I think it was also partly the fact that I was, you know, changing into making a much more demanding and challenging style of music. I felt right. that folk was really easy for me, and I don't know, I still love folk music, and every now and then I will draw on those influences, but I really liked the challenge of playing more soulful music. But yeah, it was definitely an adjustment learning how to do that without kind of destroying myself with self-doubt. And so over the course of writing Heirloom, I think I was kind of struggling a little bit with my demons, but I was winning too. So I think there are a lot of songs on this album that are about resilience and demanding self-respect and banishing toxic influences. There's just so much complexity and intensity on this album. And I'm very proud of that, but it is a lot to listen to, and to really, you know, really listen to the lyrics and what all the songs are about. But I think if you just even give it a superficial listen, it's a lot more palatable. But once you get into the meaning of these songs, it's like some of them are pretty heavy.
Yeah, they are. And absolutely, you nailed it on the head. I mean, of course you made it, but that's what I felt and saw when I listened to it. You know, I could see you were. You were talking about life. Mm-hmm. And now that you've explained it, now I see the big picture, the complete picture, actually. And it's interesting, you were outside of your comfort zone, outside mm-hmm. of folk into soul. But, you know, and again, this is my opinion, and they say it's worth maybe 2 cents, but you nailed it. Soul,
thank you.
Soul,
thank you.
And you're welcome. It's yours. Soul is you. And that's the one thing I'm, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard me say it before, but people have heard me say, don't ever let anyone steal your thunder. You know, there are so many opinions out there, and people are going to tell you, they get the naysayers and you got the positive people, you know, but the thing is, if you're comfortable in your own skin, that's worth its weight in gold. Mm-hmm. So if you can get up there and feel that, you know, you're giving back, you're doing something positive. It's just, it, no one can take that away from you. No, and they're going to say something, people, because I mean, I do things and people say, wow, really? You know, so, but hey, I'm happy. As long as I'm happy, that's all that matters.
Yeah. You know? As long as you're happy, you're not hurting anybody. Yeah.
Correct. Exactly. You know, we're not out there doing some kind of terrible things and talking negatively about people or doing, you know, things like that. But no, but you know, it's funny you said that. So I did see that. So my next question to you, and actually this segues into it. Can you tell us about a time when you felt that your music had a positive impact on a person or a situation?
Well, I should tell you about a thing that I do. I write custom love songs, so I feel like that's kind of the epitome of making a positive impact on like specific people.
Awesome.
It's something I started doing as a Valentine's Day gift idea one year when, you know, it was a really rough winter and we were kind of struggling to come up with ideas to make rent. And I thought no one was going to take me up on this gift idea. But it really actually took off, and I ended up writing and recording 12 original songs in 10 or 11 days, making it like the most productive week and a half of my life up until that point. And the media in Windsor was really supportive, and you know, they liked the story and wanted to cover it. And I started getting emails from people pretty much actually all across the country, because they did a little TV segment too that I think ended up being broadcast nationally. And I was like, okay, I'll do this year round. Like if people like it, I will definitely do it. So now I've done 70 of them for people all around the world. And so, you know, it starts with a questionnaire. They tell me about someone they love and how they met and all the details about their story. And I turn it into a song for them.
Oh, that's absolutely unique. That is so freaking cool because, I mean, to sit there and write a song for somebody, you know, you've never met them. You don't know, and you're just going off with it. That's a talent.
It's funny because I feel like I have to write from the things that I know, but,
you know
love. I mean, if you've been loved, if you have love in your life, then I feel like that's all you need to do this basically as a songwriter.
True.
Like it's something that, so I feel like when I'm writing these songs, it's like an outlet for me to express love for the people in my life. And sometimes I'll try and use that lens too when I'm writing these songs. Like, if, you know, if it's a song that's for a woman, I'd be like, well, what would I want to hear if it was about me, you know?
And, that's true.
Yeah.
That's a good way of looking at it. It's a good perspective. What would I want to hear?
Right.
True. I mean, I think we all want to be loved, you know, everybody, you know, even the people who are miserable, you know, they want to be loved, and that's probably why they're that way. But it's funny, you know, with your family being involved with you, and let me actually, before we get there, you guys have to check out on her website, okay? And your website is, if I'm not mistaken, that is
ChrissyCochran.com.
Correct. Yeah, I would make sure. And she does have those. You can get a love song made, and it'll be unique and just for you and for whomever that you wanted it for. So that's something to look forward to. And we'll also put all that stuff on social media as well, guys. So if you want to look for it. But my next question is actually a two-parter. It's you know, basically with your family being involved in your music career, of course, you know, with your husband, Mike, and, you know, everyone that's a part of your life, would you say that that has had a positive impact on your situation and you to get you to where you're at? And then on top of that, what advice do you have for those who are looking to pursue a career in music, you know, from your experiences?
Mm-hmm. Two halves of a big whole. To answer the first question, it's kind of crazy the advantage that I have, you know, being married to another musician. I feel like we fill in the gaps in each other's knowledge really well. Like he's really good at production and arranging songs and just so many different aspects of songwriting. He really, really excels at. And then I do enjoy a lot of the marketing type stuff and, you know, how do we present ourselves online? How do we write grants and like media releases, these kinds of things. So I feel like we're definitely a really great team. And even in our songwriting too, I feel like I know a couple of singer-songwriter couples, and it's pretty cool the way that we are sort of like 2 feet, you know, we are taking steps in the same direction, and you'll hear little echoes of, you know, the same ideas expressed differently in both of our songs, or like we'll borrow a line from each other's songs here and there. And it's really cool to have like totally separate careers, but kind of still have like a bit of an ongoing dialogue. You know, it's two halves of the same coin.
That's really neat. And that's rare. That is rare.
Well, when you're a musician, like the only person who's going to understand you basically is going to be another musician, really.
Exactly. True. And I've been there. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's funny because even, well, you also know in the music business itself, you tend to butt heads with others. In
yeah, industry. We can sometimes. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
but it's so cool that you guys support each other and you can actually feed off of each other like that, mm-hmm. that energy.
Absolutely.
So that positive energy is feeding. And it's like you said, I liked your analogy of, you know, 2 feet walking in the same direction. You're both heading forward and mm-hmm. you're both helping yourself, you know, each other to go forward. That's freaking phenomenal. That's awesome. and so now, you know, with that being said, and you're blessed to have that, mm-hmm. what advice do you have for those who are looking to pursue a career in music?
I think the most important thing is to just keep learning things, because there is so much to learn on the creation side of making music. You know, whether you want to focus on just writing songs or you want to learn how to, you know, produce them and create great recordings, there's a lot of information that's available to you online pretty much for free. And even on the marketing side of things too, like if you're interested in like, how do I make stuff look good, and you know, how do I get the local media to write about my shows, or how do I get more people to come to my shows? There's so much info online now. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's something I need to keep reminding myself too, is to just keep learning new things. Like whenever I feel kind of like I'm stagnating or I'm stuck somewhere, especially in my songwriting, the thing that I know that I need to do is go and learn more music, learn different songs with different chord progressions, you know, try singing different melodies, different styles of music, and picking up new things. That always helps, you know, enrich my sort of pool of reference when I'm, you know, back in a creative space again and writing again.
Yeah, that's interesting that you said that, because, you know, especially right now in our current time, which this will be a part of history, the mm-hmm. coronavirus, yeah. with everybody being stuck at home, you know, wherever they're at, it does, you know, we have seen an increase in people pursuing, you know, their creative side, mm-hmm. whether it be through music or through video or through, heck, even music production. But, you know, again, you brought up some good points. There's many resources on the internet, and especially right now, since a lot of people have a lot of time in their hands, this is the mm-hmm. time to look and teach yourself. But also the one thing too is being true to yourself. Like you've stated, you know, you just don't give up. You it's almost, I hate to say it, but it's almost like you don't take no for an answer. Mm-hmm. You know, you take constructive criticism, but you know, the no's are always going to be the obstacles, and you don't concentrate on those obstacles. You concentrate on the goal, on the mm-hmm. finish line. And that's solid advice that you've given us, and I appreciate that. You know, and this leads me to, you know, do you feel that you're currently on track with your goals?
I think so. I mean, it's funny because when I started out when I was a kid, you know, the only ideas of success that I had in the music industry were huge global pop stars, because that's pretty much all that could reach us where I grew up. You know, it was just who's on Much Music, who's on, you know, the commercial radio station. Like I didn't even have like a campus radio station that I could tune into where I grew up, like no community radio, no local wow. artists. So it took a long time before I realized that there are so many different, you know, like levels of careers in the music industry. And the more that I learned about all those different, you know, degrees on the scale of stardom, I kind of realized that, you know, especially when my anxiety kicked in my mid-20s, I realized that, you know, I didn't want to have I didn't have such great aspirations of like, you know, playing in stadiums and touring around the world, you know, 300 days a year and all of that. Like I really just wanted to have a middle-class lifestyle. And even that feels like you're shooting pretty high as an independent musician. I just wanted to have like a house, a car, and a family, like just the things that basic middle-class people want. And And, you know, I that all came together in the last couple of years. And, you know, it's not like that was my goal and I'm done now or anything. Now I just feel like I actually have, you know, some mental stability and some peace of mind knowing that I finally have my own house. Like I can make music whenever I want and I'm not bothering people. Now I just feel like I have freedom and privilege and I want to use that to keep making music and sort of give back to the world that has allowed me to have this lifestyle.
Right. That's absolutely. And it's funny that you said what you just said, because my next question is, where do you see yourself 5 years from now with all of this?
Probably with a second child, realistically, but hopefully with a lot of new music too, because I know it took me a long time to put out my last record, but it was mostly just getting all the pieces to fall in place. Like, you know, learning, like meeting all the musicians that played on my record. I didn't know them even like 4 years ago. Wow. And getting into a studio space where we could record whenever we want for free. I mean, my husband and I used to always be recording out at studios where, you know, you're paying quite a lot every day. So you really need to be extremely efficient and know what you're going to do when you get there. Have to have everything written out. You can't have, you know, no arrangements for this song or what have you. So I feel like now we finally have all the pieces together. I think it's going to be a lot easier to keep releasing music. So I hope that in the next 5 years, I will have at least another album, if not like many, many, many singles and little collaborations with other artists and whatnot. But I definitely see us being in the young family stage of our lives right now, too. So trying to, I think we want to have two kids, right? So we got to, we're cool. At one. Don't know when the next one's going to come. There was a funny meme that was going around about how like, there's going to be a whole bunch of babies born 9 months from now, but they will not, they have to be the first kids, because people who already have kids are like, nope, we're good. We don't need any more kids right now. We have plenty of kids.
Especially when you're trapped with them 24 hours a day, seven
days
a week.
Yeah, it's really hard to entertain a toddler without taking her out anywhere. And you have no babysitters when you get tired. Oh, yep. But I love my daughter. She's amazing. But yeah, there's definitely times where you're like, I worry a little bit about your social development. Like, I need to take you out. Meet people.
Mom needs anyway. Some me time.
Yes, that too. Very much.
But no, and I hope, and yeah, I'm certain that we will definitely see more, not only singles, but more albums from you, I think, because because you, oh my goodness, it's so cool. And I don't, how much, I guess the other question I do have is, how much have you gotten into, like, you know, what am I looking to say, promoting your music within the United States, outside of Canada?
Very, very little, which is funny because I'm right next to Detroit and I don't go over there at all, unfortunately. But it's because it's really difficult to go over there. So that's kind of been a barrier for me. I have wanted to do a college campus radio campaign, send my music to a bunch of stations across the states.
Wow. That'd be
but
awesome.
I feel it would be smart if I could follow that up with some kind of like tour of some kind, but it is just really hard to do that as, you know, a young mother. And also, you know, right now I can't do any kind of traveling because of COVID-19 anyway.
Exactly.
So no one can go anywhere.
We're all going to be doing a lot of live streams for a while.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
But no, that's exactly what I mean right now, because you guys are actually, if I'm not mistaken, you guys have a live stream coming up on the 30th, correct?
That's right. Yeah.
Yes.
We do them every Thursday and Saturday, 9 p.m. ET on the Soul City Music Co-op website. Yeah.
Oh, so, okay. So guys, you all heard that. So if you want to watch her live stream, if you want to watch Chrissy and just hear some phenomenal music, that's going to be 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Soul City Music Co-op. On Facebook. That's on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Soul City TV. So awesome. So definitely. And that's, you know, and I've asked you a lot of questions about your professional Chrissy. We're going to talk about you and get to know the lady behind the songs and behind the music. So my first question, and this is funny because I have to ask everybody, because this gives me the big picture of you. Who, and you can give it a minute if you need to think about this, because if you ask me the same question, we'd be like, dang, because I know so much music. Who are your top three artists that you love, and those, if they have provided the influence for who you are in your music?
Oh my gosh, that is a super hard question. I know, obviously, Billie Holiday is like, there, she's in the top three. But it's, I feel like the other two, they change a lot. They shift a lot. So, you know, I may give you like two other ones now, and then like a year or two down the line, I might give you two totally different ones. But for today, I will say, along with Billie Holiday, the two artists that I feel have had a lot of impact on me. One of them is Lewis Taylor. He mm-hmm. is an amazing UK soul artist. And my husband takes a lot, like, even more influence from him than I do. He's so funky and groovy, and his voice kind of sounds like Curtis Mayfield. Yeah. And he's just like such a great combination of things. He's not an active artist anymore, unfortunately, but he's really fantastic and everyone should check him out. And the other artist is named Sidibe. I think that's how you pronounce her name, but I'm not 100% on it. And she's based out of LA, and she is a fantastic underground artist. She was actually kind of, like sort of endorsed by Prince just before he passed away. He had like a purple pick of the week where he would like, you know, pick a track that he really liked and promote it. And her song, I think it was I'm Only Dreaming at that point in time, was the last one that he picked. And she is such a fantastic writer and singer, and everything about her just like exudes like sensuality and beauty. And it's so deliciously produced. So I feel like between Sidibe and Lewis, those are like my production goals. And then Billie Holiday is just sort of like my old soul jazz classic favorite heart love that like I will never not love.
Oh, absolutely. I love Billie Holiday. Oh my goodness. See, and that's, I asked you a hard question. I told you it was going to be difficult because you asked me the same question. It's like, we'd be here for like for 10 seconds with the first, because you're listening to so many different things all the time. And it's, and I don't mean like so many different types of music. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, like you said, Billie Holiday. The next one that comes to my mind is Etta James. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I guess that there, you know, and that's the one thing. It's like, so yeah, and it's hard because you appreciate all of them and everything they contributed, because you take each little piece away and then you come up, it's almost like science. If you get a little information from each source and you come up with your own hypothesis, so now you come up with your own style.
Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely.
It's so funny, but and there are so many up and coming singers, and especially reviving the old. It's funny, and I appreciate you for saying Curtis Mayfield. I have to thank you for that. He's one of my favorites too. You know his story. A lot of his music, a lot of his music was about the social injustices. Yep. That were going on, you know, and it's still going on today. Let's be realistic. Yeah. You know, I hate to say it. And I'm frank and I'm to the point, and it's like, I'm not going to beat around the bush. You guys watch what's going on in the US and you look like, wow, you know? Mm-hmm. And I've heard that from other people who currently live in Canada, especially in Ontario. They're like, what is going on over there? You know, it's like, well, it's been going on all the dang time. You just not notice because of the news.
Well, you know what? I feel like even in Canada, like we like to think that we're so very different, but we're really not, you know. No. We're really not that far off at all anyway. I feel like it's just that, like, now that everyone has a phone in their pocket, like a lot of injustice is getting recorded, which is fantastic. But yeah, it's opening everyone's eyes to the world that a lot of people have been living in for a really long time.
Correct. And it's also sad. You know, you brought up, like I said, with Curtis Mayfield, and I think, you know, so many songs and things that he had said and done, and it's just wonderful. And it will always resonate forever. That's something that you can take away too, because you're keeping that dream and that goal alive. Especially for Billie Holiday. Again, when I started listening to your music, I'm like, wow. So again, this is just so cool, because it's like, wow. And it's rare that because everybody nowadays, and you're seeing it too in the industry, they're latching on to a particular sound, and you know, or a particular style or genre, and they're wearing it out. I'm sorry. I'm going to be frank. They're wearing it out. So people like you and others that are, you know, in the scene that are that are keeping that foundation alive and adding some newness to it, which is just wonderful. And especially with Soul Brother Mike. he's a really good bass player. I play bass too, so
I watched. Oh, right on.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, keeping time and keeping funky, but not trying to overwhelm, you know, like a Jaco or, you know, or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'll know what I'm talking about. You know, I don't get me wrong. I love all the guys, but you know, but it's just keeping that time and also keeping true. It's funny. I'd love to speak to him and say, oh, who your influences, you know, did you like Bootsy Collins, you know, with the P-Funk? So, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, the other thing too, it's funny. So I'm going to tell everybody, you know, a little bit about Chrissy. She actually not only does enjoy spending time with her family, her husband, and her daughter, but also I hear you like oil painting and a lot of, you know, cooking and baking and knitting and reading.
Yeah,
fiction.
I'm super crafty. Like today I went around in a homemade dress and apron and I was like, it's the 1950s again, everybody.
That's awesome.
Oh, forget what times we're really in and let's just bake bread.
It's awesome. But so now with COVID-19 going on, you're stuck at home more and you're cooking more at home. Mm-hmm. And I know you like Indian foods and Middle Eastern foods.
Yeah, because Windsor is so multicultural. There's like a little bit of everything here. And so now I have so many different favorite kinds of cuisine. And I really miss them because, some places are delivering, but we're like barely even doing that. I'm just cooking a lot, basically.
And same here. Yeah. I'm still even leery of delivering because it's like you have to decontaminate everything and it just takes the joy away from it anyhow.
Yeah, it's a bit stressful. Yes, we did it one time when we were really low on groceries. We ordered like a whole mess of Middle Eastern food and it was so good. It was exactly what we needed for our morale. But it is challenging having to like... You're mentally like, prepare for like, yeah.
Oh, I got to I got to get out of container. Oh, it's insanity.
Yeah.
It's absolute insanity.
It's complicated. So complicated.
So those are your likes, you know, and it's really cool because again, it's diverse like you are. With your music and even it seems like as a person, because I get, you know, with you have a lot of creativity and you, I can see here, you know, with the things you like to do. So that's just awesome. Now, these are some questions. These are going to be some heavy questions. I save them for the end. And if you need a moment to think about it, that's fine. My listeners, you guys are good people. We're all family here, so we're good. If you had a chance to do this all over, what would you do differently?
The only thing is I maybe wouldn't have gotten cats. I like everything that I did, but cats, man. I feel like literally if I didn't have cats, I probably would have toured a lot more.
Oh, wow.
'Cause I was always so worried about my cats. Who's going to take care of my cats? So stupid.
No, I can identify with that because I got dogs. So yeah.
Right. They keep you at home. They keep you around home. So it definitely makes it a lot harder to travel. I mean, and obviously once you have kids, it's like times what having a cat is like. So, I mean, cats are supposed to be really independent anyway.
I know, right?
But it's funny. Sometimes I do think about that. I think about how like my career might have been different if I hadn't have gotten a cat like right when I moved out when I was 18, when I could have been like touring and like having very little commitments. Because I have friends now that they perform all over the world and they just kind of live in, you know, a city for a couple months at a time. And they can have like a really like transient but fascinating and crazy lifestyle. You know, I always feel like the time you spend in a city is like a life that you get to live. And for a while I wanted to like change cities every couple of years just so it could feel like I was living many lives. Mm-hmm. But you know, very quickly you tether yourself down with things and relationships and animals and that's that.
And kids and bills and a house.
Yeah.
but you know what? Hey, that's still in the cards for you guys. You know, I mean, once you get that one album out there and it's going to be 99 million listens and you know and all kinds of things for you guys, you guys would be going around.
So that would be pretty cool. I would make that work.
Yeah, don't dismiss it yet because you can make it work. When there's a will, there's a way. And you know, the last question, this one's gonna be the toughest of them all because this is your legacy here. Lastly, if the whole world, the entire world, was listening right now to this interview, what would you say?
I don't know. It'd probably have to be something about love, nothing to do with music at all.
It could be anything. I feel like anything.
Well, I guess the thing that I would say, I feel like there's a lot of divisiveness in the world and a lot of confrontation and a lot of fighting online that doesn't go anywhere and people trying to change each other's minds and it's not working. I feel like the one thing that we need to know is that you can't change anyone's mind without a whole lot of love and friendliness and looking that person in the eye. Like, don't spend your life fighting with people on the internet. It's not going to change anybody's mind. I feel like we just need a lot more love and friendship and seeing eye to eye and standing shoulder to shoulder and looking in the same direction. Like, very literally, even those things can make other people see your viewpoint better.
Wow. Well said. That was great. That was a phenomenal answer.
Thank you.
No problem. You're welcome. That's just great, because it's true. We do need more unity in the world. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of our problems would be solved. And I mean that wholeheartedly. I agree with you. A lot of our problems would be solved if people were more welcoming and more able to hold each other's hand, rather mm-hmm. than trying to, you know, in some industries, and especially in music or film, you know, which I have, a lot of experience in, backstabbing and backbiting. Mm-hmm. It's terrible, because the quickest way for us all to succeed is to pull each other up to the top of the
That's
mountain.
That's right. Yep. Lift as you grow.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, and your answer was spot on. So thank you so much. And, you know, I wanted to let everybody know before we go that please check out Chrissy's music on Spotify. You can go to her website, chrissycochran.com. You'll see the albums. You have Little Sway and your new album, Heirloom, which mm-hmm. which is phenomenal. I the two tracks that we played, you know, the very first one that we played was Hungry Love, and then the second one was Like a Lady. So if you guys enjoyed those, you're going to definitely enjoy the entire album. So it was just a little snippet and then a little taste of what you guys can get into. So Chrissy, I greatly appreciate your time this evening, and thank you so much for coming on the show. And again, like I said before, it wasn't just a pleasure, it was an honor to be able to speak with you.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for your time and for having me. I really appreciate it.
That is not a problem. And we hope, you know, hopefully we'll have you back on when you have some great news, because you know you will. We're going to keep an eye on your progression here, because you got a lot going on. It's awesome. Thank you so much again for everything. And thank you for coming on. And we will see everybody again next week. And please, again, I'll have everything on social media. You can reach out to Chrissy if you're looking for a love song. Here, you gotta go. You gotta check it out. That's just so freaking awesome. And you know, and that's it. Thank you so much. And you all have a great week. And Chrissy, thank you. You have a wonderful evening. And we will talk to everybody soon. And have a wonderful week, everybody.